welcome everybody. If you're visiting with us, we're excited that you're here and visiting with us, and any time and any opportunity that you have that you come and visit with us, we're always delighted to see you and be with you here as well. First of all, I want to thank the church for hosting the Monday Night Merge. We did had it last week. I'm so thankful for the brethren and sisters that been part of it and that been helping us with the with bringing the foods and items that are needed. We're so grateful and thankful for that and the ability that you have to do that. That really gives us an impact or sends a message that you really care about what we're doing and that you are really interested in caring of what is going on here at Dewey Avenue in the church. And we appreciate that, and definitely we do appreciate those who are been participating in it and are able to provide things that we need. And I'm so thankful for that, and I'm glad for that as well, and we're so thankful about it. If you would, open your Bibles to Romans chapter 10, verses 15. That should be the text for us today, for our lesson. Romans chapter 10, verses 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Today's topic, you might probably have heard it. Heard it many times, had to hear about it. But I think it's something important. We should realize that it's part of our life as Christians, that we should understand and we should know what are gospel meanings. It gives me some excitement because I grew up in the church. It reminds me, I came from a different, as you all noticed before, I came from a different culture. And when it comes to gospel meetings, they're completely different in a sense of, the way they conduct them. Basically, in our case, in my culture, we have whole week gospel meetings. We go out and knock on doors and spread the word and pamphlets. It just reminds me when I was a little kid, when I was growing up, that out there in the market passing pamphlets and giving the information of that week's gospel meetings and what was going on those days as well. When I lived in New York City in the Bronx, I remember as well going out to the subway entrance and being there and passing pamphlets and advertising the gospel meetings and stuff. That's how we did it. That's how Hispanic way Latin American churches do gospel meetings. Here, of course, and when you come to the U.S. and our culture, we do it a little bit different. But again, it's the same concept, it's the same goal, it's the same idea that we all try to accomplish. It's the same goal, right? The text that I just read, it's a text that we have it engraved in our school of preaching. That's basically comes from Nahum. Nahum chapter 1, verses 15. That's part of our our text that gives us that notion of, you know, preaching and what the gospel should be. But I want us to think of, what do you think whenever we think about gospel, and why should we attend, or why should he even be part of our lives of being in a gospel meeting or doing a gospel meeting? Is it delight? Is it a delight that I get, you know, to be participating in the gospel meeting, or is this just my feelings are not good about it, or disinterest? So what exactly what our gospel meeting is? Usually it's a multi-day event hosted in the congregation, open to the public, where we get, you know, a speaker, or, you know, we get them for 3 days, 4 days, whatever the amount of time is. And, you know, we get the speaker, and of course he develops a series of lessons, and it's to basically revolve among the theme of Jesus Christ and what he done for us, and what the gospel is of, you know, that Christ came for the sinners as well. That's basically the whole, you know, theme that you develop these lessons. I mean, but what can we observe from the following? I mean, do we get excited? Do we get excited of hearing gospel meetings? You know, because throughout, you know, we're so blessed too. One of the other things that we as church here and a church around this area should realize that we are so blessed that we live in the Ohio Valley area, that we, you know, have all this churches around us, and all these wonderful preachers, and, you know, well-renowned preachers, and you know, back in the days, you know, you have a list of preachers that would go and preach and go around and have great meetings. But you know, we are blessed to have that around here. So, what can we observe from the following? We can look at gospel meetings we attend, you know, that we need to attend in every service. That we know that other churches conduct them. And appear, we know that other churches, that's a way of outreaching. Because, you know, gospel meetings are usually a way to grow the church. That's part of it. That's the formula. That's why we spread the message. It's not just only in a local level, but the importance of it. My point is that we need to realize that part of the resources and part of the things that we do here as a congregation, it involves as well spreading the word. And how do we spread the word? By having, again, gospel meetings and attending gospel meetings, because that's part of it and it involves it. So let me give you real quick three things that we can observe. Let me suggest you three things that we can observe from gospel meetings. So we can observe from gospel meetings that we can support a great message, and that's what this message is, right? The gospel is the good news that Jesus Christ came into this earth for me, the sinner, to give me an opportunity to be righteous with God, to be righteous and to have this great relationship with God, and to obtain eternal life. So the purpose of a gospel meeting for us is to realize that it supports a great message. The message of the gospel is that Jesus Christ came to earth for me, the sinner. That's the main goal with this, right? So we see that, in Hebrews 4:12 tells us that it's a living and powerful message, right? For the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than two-edged sword, piercing even the divisions of the soul and the spirit, and our joints, and narrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So this is how great this message is. So this is how great the message of the gospel is, for us to realize the importance of it. With that, we realize that it gives us, as Romans 10:17, it gives us faith, right? It gives us ability to believe in something that is powerful. So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God, not just the random word, right? It's the word of God. It's the word that God had put in us here in front of us, right? Because we have to believe that it's powerful, right? So it's the word of God, Romans 10:17, that creates that faith. So isn't it worthy, the word of God, for us to support it then? Isn't it worthy for us to understand the importance of it? Again, the gospel meetings proclaim the gospel. Romans, this is one of my favorite texts from the Apostle Paul, Romans 1:16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek." So in other words, there is no exception of person. There is no exception. It's open to anybody. See? It's powerful. See, the Apostle Paul making the affirmation there that not to be ashamed of the gospel. And, you know, for me to not be ashamed of the gospel, then that entitles me or tells me that I need to support or to, you know, to have gospel meetings. That's the main thing. We are proclaiming the word of God, so we should not be ashamed. And we should never be ashamed of expressing or saying and teaching the word of God, like the Apostle Paul here gives that as an affirmation. The message is for everybody to hear, right? We got that message from Jesus, right? In Mark 16:15-16. And he said to them, "Go unto the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Verse 16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned." Simple, right? Simple as 1 + 1 = 2, right? Straight. Simple, right? So we need to understand that is that the word of God is powerful. We need to understand that as well. That is for everybody. So gospel meetings, we understand that is part of our tools. So again, it's worthy of for us to support it. Again, it's worthy of us to support the great message, to have the presence and support a great message. Christ has to offer the word. What does the word gives us? Again, a powerful for salvation as well. Secondly, to receive the great message, we understand that the gospel meetings has a twofold purpose. One purpose is, of course, to evangelize, to get people aware of what the gospel is, to get people aware of what Jesus did for them, to seek and save and proclaim the gospel to the lost, to provide an opportunity to friends and our neighbors that to hear the gospel, right? Not just not just that there's a church here and that's all we do. That, you know, we just come every Monday and Wednesday, every Sunday and Wednesday, and just to teach. But what is it what is the gospel? What we are intended to teach, and what Jesus have done for us as well. And it provides knowledge to somebody that doesn't know what the gospel is. Another purpose is to edify. It's not just for the lost, but for us as well as Christians. It's to edify. It's to give us that ability to exhort to, you know, to the good works, right? As Hebrews 10:24-25 tells us, is to exhort us to the good works of God and what He wants us to live. And that's, you know, as we've been hearing a couple Sundays about the, you know, the righteousness and how to be righteous with God. Well, as well, that exhort us to edify each other, to help each other, to receive those who, again, to, you know, sometimes gospel meetings. Yes, it is for the purpose. It is the purpose for the purpose is for the lost ones. The purpose is for the ones that don't understand what Jesus had done for them. But again, one of the key purposes again that we can gain from the gospel meeting is that rekindle of that first love for Christ. As Christian, believe it or not, sometimes we may lose that fire. We might lose that, but yes, we can rekindle that as Christians. We can have that to receive those who have lost their first love. As Revelations 2:4-5 tells us, nevertheless, I have this against you, that you have left your first love. Remember therefore, verse 5, from where you have fallen, repent and do the first works, or else I will come to you quickly and remove you from the lampstand from its place unless you repent. So sometimes works both ways, you know, rekindles the love and rekindles the, you know, first love to Christ, and it reminds us of what Christ has done. Gospel meetings offer something, again, for everybody, again, for the sinner as well. The gospel, which tells us about God in John 3:16, you know, because without the gospel, without Christ coming to this world, we wouldn't have nothing. I mean, we can't save ourselves. So God decided to create this, you know, ultimate plan for us to be righteous in His sight, for us to understand that. That's, again, first John 3:16 reminds us of that. 1 John 4:10 tells us, and this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. So it reminds us that, you know, God sent His only begotten Son for us to pay that debt that we can never be, that it can never be paid for us. Again, it gives us the plan of salvation, right? It gives us a way to for us to know and do what we need to do as well. It gives us a plan of salvation. As Mark 16:16 tells us, and he who believes and be baptized will be saved, and he who does not believe will be condemned. For the saved, for us, what again, the gospel. Gospel meeting offers, that was for the sinner, for the person that didn't know about the gospel. For the saved, well, we understand that we follow the doctrine of the doctrine of grow in grace of the apostles, as 2 Peter 3:16 tells us, 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus, of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him the glory both now and forever. The apostle teachings of the grace, again, it reminds us. Our presence, even when we decide to visit other churches that have gospel meetings or the presence, our presence show the desire to receive that great message of Jesus has offered to us, right? The interest. What does our absence sometimes show? That the gospel is not for me. That's what it shows. Thirdly, it sends a great message. Sends a great message. The gospel meetings allow us to demonstrate, our priorities in our life and our Christian growth. Matthew 6:33 tells us, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. So it gives us a message as where are my priorities, where I need to be connected with with Christ, and then, you know, help me build on my relationship with Christ. With this great message that being, you know, that being expressed, that being told here. As well, it helps. It helps me with my attitude towards the gospel. You are that we are not ashamed. That we are, you know, that we are never to be ashamed of the gospel being expressed. Again, like the Apostle Paul tells us, you know, that we're not supposed to be ashamed of it. It expressed the concern for the lost, right? That we have compassion for the lost, as Jesus Christ expressed it in Matthew 9:35 and 38. We support our brethren as well. You know, we encourage them. We do try to encourage them because, you know, like we discussed earlier, it's sometimes a struggle being a Christian, but that struggle sometimes is easier when we all come together and we know that we're not the only ones struggling with things, struggling with sin, or struggling with whatever area in our lives that is presented to us. Romans 15:1-2 tells us, "We then who are strong ought to bear with the scruples of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good, leading for edification." So in other words, I'm going to try to help my fellow brethren. I'm going to try to not just put myself in front and just be me first, but, you know, I'm going to focus on how I'm going to help this other person in his Christian walk and how I'm going to help him to build that relationship that he needs done, to build that. That's when the mature Christian comes in and help the other Christian that is just starting, or the ones that are struggling there as well. That's when you put time aside and help them as well. So that's what the gospel means as well, demonstrate that ability that, you know, we're not the only ones struggling together. Gospel meetings revealed a lot sometimes in our a lot of ourselves sometimes in the way we conduct ourselves. Gospel meetings allow us to influence influence our family, friends, neighbors, and brethren as well with the support that we give, with the interest that we demonstrate for it. Right, it helps us support. It helps us support our family and friends and neighbors that, you know, we're interested in them and help in trying to get them to or point them to the right direction and trying to get them started with their life, with their Christian walk. And it gives us, you know, that we are walking by example, the example of Jesus Christ, right? That we are interested in them as well, for the lost one as well. Gospel meetings impact a lot of people in various ways. You know, it does help them. It does help you as a Christian. Like I said again, when I was growing up, it does help you understand what the church does, what the resources are there for you to do as a Christian. It's not just us coming here together and worshiping God, or you know, punching our presence card and say, you know, like sometimes we do at work, you know, say I just came in Sunday and that's it, or, you know, Wednesday and that's it. You know, it's not just that, but it gives you that ability for you to know that there's other resources in how the church function and how church is and how the church culture is and so on and so forth, you know, and it helps you build, again, that great love for the church, because now, like in the previous passage, you know, it helps support the brethren. Now you know, the struggle that is in place in there, but it helps us in various ways, you know, and impacts us in various ways. And I know that so many here have been Christians a long time, and, you know, how it is, that how it impacts you and how it helps you in your walk as Christians, that no matter where you're at, you know that you're always a Christian in what you need to do as well. So finally, let us think about what's the importance of the gospel meetings and why should I attend? Well, it's to support a great message, the message of Jesus Christ. It's to receive the great message, to impart that great message, to send that great message as well. The purpose of this lesson is for us to remind us of the importance of the resources of the gospel meetings offer to us. That's why we hold gospel meetings. That's why the church is always holding gospel meetings. That's why other churches, neighboring churches, they're always holding gospel meetings, because it helps first and foremost gives people from the outside world the ability to understand and to come and to study the Word of God. So that's the purpose. That's the main purpose of the church, right? To grow it and to teach others and to lead others to the way that they need to be at and where they need to be at and what they need to do as well, and to encourage and enlighten, right? Yes, sometimes this might be repetitive, but sometimes we forget about it. We're humans, right? We're not perfect. But it's a good reminder of us the importance of why should I attend a gospel meeting, or why a gospel meeting is so important in our lives. Yes, it's repetitive. We've seen that. But sometimes, again, repetition helps us understand the importance of it as well. As 2 Timothy 2:7 tells us, in the words of the Apostle Paul says, consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all the things. So we need to consider what the importance of gospel meeting, why we should have gospel meetings, and why gospel meetings are important to attend. We should consider that, not just put it in the book, close it, and then just put it on the side there like it's not important, but just to think about it, that is part of the resources. And it's part of the way that we grow the church. And it's part of the way that we expound and help grow the church. Sometimes we think that supporting missions and doing missions outside, that we're doing the work of the Lord. Yes, we are doing it. And I understand that. That's perfectly fine. But sometimes we need to realize that the mission and the mission field is within us here. And we need to tap into those resources. And we need to tap into the very important resources that we have to spread that word, spread that gospel. And that's the importance of it. Spread the word of God to edify others and to help. If you're here this morning and you haven't done, there's very important things that you need to do. You need to hear the word. You need to believe the word. You need to confess the word. You need to be baptized. That's an important thing. That's the first thing you need to do for you to start this walk with Christ. Or if you have been a Christian and you have deviated from that, we encourage you to come back to understand the importance of being in Christ and doing what he wants us to do and living the way he wants us to do. Is there any way that we can help you with? We're here for you. The elders are here for you to help you and pray and help you in whatever need that we are able to do. Let us stand as we sing our invitation song.
Of age. ages cleft for me, let me hide myself in thee. Let the water and the blood from thy riven side which flowed be of sin the double cure. Cleanse me from its guilt and power. Not the labor of my hands can fulfill the law's demands. Could my zeal no respite know, could my tears forever flow, all for sin could not atone. Thou must save, and thou alone. Nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. Naked come to thee for dress, helpless look to thee for grace. Vile I to the fountain fly, wash me, Savior, or I die.
Please be seated. To help us prepare our minds for the Lord's Supper, we will sing number 495. 495. Oh, the depth and the riches. 495. Oh, the depth and the riches of God's saving grace, flowing down from the cross for me. There the debt for my sins by the Savior was paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. How my heart humbly bows in his presence today when I think of his agony. By his stripes I am freed from the bondage of sin through his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary. Oh, what marvelous mercy, what infinite love, what immeasurable grace I see. By his blood I am cleansed, I am happy and free, through his suffering on Calvary. Oh, the depth of such wonderful love, flowing boundless and full and free. And the debt for my sins was all paid in his suffering on Calvary.